I invite you to go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 5 and also keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. I'll give you a chance to go there. While you're turning, just for a few, we're going to have a shortened here. We had an opportunity with Josh, and I'm so glad we did. But we need to get into this word. And I didn't know where to preach. I was concerned about that. Am I a passenger? Am I a driver? Well, it turns. You shouldn't have done this. I have serious ADHD. You know I'm going to be playing with that. We'll stay away from that. I'll get over here. All right, so if you have it there, you know, as we've been talking about, been in Genesis for several weeks now, and we're coming up on chapter 6 through 8, and that's the big Noah's Ark and all what's going on there. There's a lot of issues that are happening. We got an entire earth full of people that don't want to have anything to do with God, except 8. And I don't, doesn't that just blow you away right there? You read it. How many times do you just read it and go, oh, that sounds bad? Just think about it. I don't know what the ratios would be. It would be like this entire sanctuary here, and everybody's in it, and there's only one person that has any interest in God. Just one. It's probably even worse than that as far as percentages go. So that's all there is. We got a lot of people think, well, how in the world did we get there? How did it happen that at one time we were walking with God, and then now nobody's interested in walking with God? You know, they're all on a journey with God, and they decided to go on their own journey, and that's sort of what's happened. And there's parallels to our culture today, but I wouldn't say with confidence that it's exactly as bad as it was in Noah's day yet. That doesn't mean they can't get there. That doesn't mean it's not heading there, and it seems like it's exponentially sometimes going there with the walls that be passed, the way people think, the way they talk, the way the media is. But I got to tell you, when people like Joshua and some of our young people and our young adults, I'm excited about what God's doing around the world because he said and he promised that he will build his church and even the gates of culture can't stop it. Amen. Now, I replaced that with the word hell, but sometimes those can be the same, right? So the gates of hell can't stop it. Nothing's going to keep it from happening. And so here we come, and we want to take a brief look, though. How do people get off on different pathways? More specifically, how can we ensure, because this is important for us as believers, that we're walking with God like our character today? Because there's one here that didn't walk with culture. Father, as we get into the word this morning, help us now to keep our eyes and our hearts open so that we can receive your word, speak to us individually, we know you do. We humble ourselves, remove distractions, Lord. Help us to focus for a few minutes on what your word would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 5:24 says this, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. What do you think of when you think about that? Walking is a gift from God already. I consider walking the idea of life itself. We've been put on here, and God has allowed us to be a part of this human race, a part of this world. And walking is a part of our life experiences that we have, whether we're in a bus or wherever we're at. It starts young, of course, in our families or the family God has placed us in, if it's not our biological family. And then from there, we get all kinds of walks that we take. We take walks with our family early on. That's where we start learning. Then we start getting introduced to friends when we're old enough and back in the toddler room when it's my toy, not your toy, and all those things. And then you have other kinds of walks. You start to, as you get older, you start to let people come into your walk with you. Other people you keep out the best you can. You can't always do that, right? Especially if you have to work with them. But you have all these things going on, and you have these walks taking place, and all these people are developing the way that we view the world. They're developing how we think and what we value. They're developing our thought life and the things that are important, how we see things. And this book of Genesis is kind of a story about how people can be influenced and take the wrong walk or the right walk, and how God's mission is to help people to get on the right road, the right journey, the right path to Him. He is involved in reaching the nations for Himself, not just Americans, the world. God loves the world, and it's His mission. And let's be clear, God isn't just a part of our life. We have been called as the church to be part of His mission to reach the world. That's very important. We need to get that in our minds. Sometimes we even treat missions that way, don't we? We don't mean to, and it's not, I don't think there's anything that we're doing intentionally bad, but we say, oh, we have a missions program, and we do. But that's really the wrong way to think about it. It's not just a program. It's not that, hey, yeah, we have this part of our ministry here. It's important about having missions in our church. No. The church is the mission of God, and we've joined Him, not Him being a part of us. It's just the right way of thinking about it. And so here we have, back here, God is walking with mankind, and it seems to be a great walk. You've probably experienced that from time to time in your Christian life, on and off, right? Had those great moments, and we've had all kinds of moments. But let's talk about the good ones for a moment, where God is just doing something amazing, or maybe you've just been blessed, someone has encouraged you, or a new open door, I don't know what it is, but you feel like, you know, you and God are well, you've dealt with whatever's going on in your heart, and you're trying to be a person of integrity, and you're walking with God, and those are great. That's how it started off, even better, because it was without sin, right? And it was, what a relationship that was. And it's going to be like that one day again, praise God. But right now, the walk and the journey isn't always so smooth. And then came sin. We read about that in Genesis. And the sin is what introduced all these other paths now. There used to be one, and it was with God. And He'd come walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and they walked together. It was a beautiful path. It was intimacy. And there wasn't this thing, well, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what your will is. And all. It was all with Him. And then sin came in, and all of a sudden, there's more than one fork in the road. Now we got four. Now we got eight. And the bad part is that the one we were walking with was the one we told him to take a hike. And we're starting to choose our own path. This is what the story of Genesis, the story of the Bible, is about. All of us chose our own path. And it's about the God of this universe who in love has called us back to Himself. Have you ever been lost in the woods? I have. I was at a Christian camp, and I was a camp counselor, and it was our own church camp in Texas, and it was only 300 acres, so it wasn't like it was a huge, but it was really heavily wooded, and we played this game, hide and seek, and I hid so well, they couldn't find me, and I couldn't find my way back to camp. I was an hour and a half, and I was beginning to wonder, am I going to make it back before it gets dark? Of course, they had already gone and went on with the other counselors playing and everything else. It's a terrible place to be lost, and you know you're lost. Have you ever lost your kids somewhere? Well, praise the Lord if you haven't. We have. It's so terrible. We lost one of our kids at the zoo one time. You've heard that story before, and it's just a terrible feeling. And then they get found. It's great. So we have these walks, and that's what it's all about here. We have this walking with God. Now these paths have taken place, and we walk our own path. That's what's going on in Noah's generation, and it's building on Enoch, who's his great-grandfather. Yes, great-grandfather. And it's now becoming more apparent that no one's walking with God anymore. And it's not a good situation. So I really wanted to just look at how, now we could go to Hebrews. I want to look and see, just there's a lot of steps here, but I just want to look here how Hebrews helps us to understand how you and I can make sure that we're walking with God and not just walking ourselves on our own path with a picture of God in our pocket and saying, oh, Jesus is with me. Having a picture of Jesus doesn't mean Jesus is with you at all. So what do we do that? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is how the Hall of Faith writer describes Enoch. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and then rewards those who seek him. Two big ideas here on this description of one of our heroes of the faith, Enoch, that come out. Helps us to understand walking with God. What is it all about? Well, initially, it comes right up front. And it's walking with God is all about faith in God. He starts right there. By faith. And I love it. That's where it begins. By faith, Enoch was taken up so they should not see death. So what we have here is this idea of our walk with God is a faith walk. It begins in faith. Faith is believing, a confident trust in something or someone. It's something that you have to do yourself. It doesn't just happen. People say, well, you know, you can get saved and it doesn't, you don't have anything to do with it. No, that's just not true. God gives his gospel, his truth, his conviction, his word, and you and I have a choice to make. And that choice is a choice, a step of faith. Will you believe? Do you believe this? Jesus even asked that question, I believe, to one of the ladies in John 11, where he's saying, do you believe this? Make your choice. So here, Enoch, it's about believing. And what does he say? Well, the first part, he talks about that he believes that he exists. God, the existence of God. You see there in the end of verse 6. By faith, what's this belief in? That God exists. A confident trust, a confident belief that God exists. God, this very day, is calling upon the nations in different ways to believe and trust in him. He's painted a beautiful landscape. He's got an awesome pathway. Bible says no man is without excuse. You can't. You see the stars in the heavens, the beauty of the oceans, the sunsets, the earth. And it's God has created a beautiful path. He's speaking to him, speaking to the world in that way. He's speaking through his son. He's speaking through his people. He's speaking a lot of ways. So we have this existence. Do you know that God exists? I mean, that seems to be a big question today, right? A couple passages. I'm just going to read one, though. It comes from Daniel. I love it. Nebuchadnezzar says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this was after he made his bad choice, he raised my eyes toward heaven, and my understanding and reason returned to me. Did you catch that? My understanding and my reason returned to my brain. And I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and glorified him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. If you know the story of Daniel, you know that he started off okay, he listened to Daniel and seemed to be doing well. And then Daniel prophesied and said, your pride's going to get in the way. You're going to go crazy for a while. And then you're going to come back. And this is exactly what happened. He thought too much of himself. So he was walking and honoring God, believing, following the God of Daniel. And then all of a sudden he got too much of himself. Said, I know what I'm doing. I can do my own thing. And so he chose a different path. God taught him several years, right? I mean, they thought he was crazy, and I guess he was. But then God brought him back, and what's the first thing he does? He acknowledges, I realize, God is God. He exists. I don't live here for myself. He's given me life, and my life is bound to him. I could dishonor it. I could dishonor him, but I cannot ignore him. At the end of the day, he is God. I am not. Enoch had that moment in his life where he just trusted and believed in the God who made heaven and earth. It's a confident trust. He knows he's there. The evidence is everywhere. Can't give any more. So I'd be pretty good if maybe I could raise someone up from the dead. Would some of you believe more? We would think we would. Jesus was asked that question, right? Hey, send someone back. Tell them about, I don't want my brothers to come to this terrible place called hell. Jesus says, no, it wouldn't matter what I do. They have the prophets. They have the word. If they don't believe in him, they're not going to believe. It won't matter. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Christ is raised from the dead. No, evidence is not the issue. It's faith. Do you believe it? I'm not asking you to believe in something that maybe or may not exist. I'm asking you to believe in truth. God exists. That's the beginning. If you want to walk with God, you got to walk in truth. And that begins with this relationship with God. So we walk in faith in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father. You want to walk with God? I got an in for you. Jesus. What's the only way in? It's the only way you're going to get in. Now, I used to be a member of the Y here in town. And you know the funny thing about the Y, when I wasn't a member of the Y, they never let me in. I don't know why. That wasn't supposed to be a joke. I'm sorry. That was bad. See, I'm always funny when I don't mean to be funny. And why is it when I tell you jokes, nobody laughs? Anyway, that's just the way it goes. Yeah, you gotta get a good way in. I remember when we took an eighth grade, this is like back in 1983 or 84 or something. We took an eighth grade students. Sorry, Josh, you weren't around, were you? So we took a group of eighth graders. You remember the trip to Washington, D.C.? I don't know how many of you either took that or took a bunch of kids. So we took a bunch of them from our school there, and we went to the White House, but we couldn't get in the White House. We weren't invited. Couldn't get in. Well, people think, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to walk my path. I'm going to do my good things, things that are good to me. And, you know, if the Bible has some good hints and helps, that's fine. But I'm just going to do my thing. The problem with that is the only way to God is through the Son. You can't get to the Father without you going through the Son. You can't skip the cross. You can't skip the empty tomb. It's not going to happen. Jesus made that very clear. If you want to walk with him, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now today, my issue is like with computers. How many passwords do you have to have in your life? Anybody have that issue? Oh my goodness. And they tell you, don't have the same password, but I'm about ready to give that up. I have a hard time remembering that one. But then you got a password for this and that and all this stuff, and I'm always pulling people in from the staff. What's my password? I can't even get on without a password. I'm telling you, Jesus is the password. That's it. You don't need any other password. No other password works. You might like it. It might have all the characters and figures and all whatever it is, the letters. But it's Jesus. Only in him will you be able to get to the Father. Only in him will you be able to get to heaven. Only in him will you find forgiveness of sins. Only in him will you find purpose of life. Only in him will you find the family of God in Jesus alone. That's it. So Enoch, of course, Jesus wasn't born yet, but he was still the eternal Son of God, was there. Enoch trusted God, and through that, he entered into this family of God we would call salvation. So the first thing we see here is this idea of faith. If you want to walk with God, you got to walk by faith. And the only way you get that happen, you got to trust. Evidence, it's not jumping in the dark, it's taking a leap into the light from darkness. And that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if you're here today and you haven't done that, that's what you must do. That is your GPS. That is your guide. And I got a lot to say about GPS, but we don't have the time. We're going to let that one go. But I'll just say that God will never steer you the wrong direction. It begins with faith. What are you trusting in? Everybody trusts in something. Come on now, when you walked in here today, did you do a test on your pew? I doubt if anyone did one of these numbers. Whew, okay. You say that, but when I first got here, I'll tell you a story. We had them orange chairs. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe I don't know what color they were 45 years ago when you bought them, but they were orange when I got here. And it happened for 2 weeks. I sat in one of those chairs, and they broke. Second time I sat in it, and it broke. Third time I hit the floor, I cracked. One of them stabbed me in the leg, a piece of wood, and it broke. So guess what I started doing with the orange chairs? Yeah. Yeah, you won't be doing that with God. He won't let you down. He won't let you down. So we get over here, and the second part, the big idea here is this phrase, pleasing. He pleased God. This idea of Enoch seeking after God really pleased him. So as now a believer, as trusting in God, confident trust, a relationship by faith in God, now he's in the family of God. He's got blessing, he's got privilege, and he has responsibility. It's all part of it. It's great. It's great. He's in it. And how does he please his father? How do you please your father? Well, by seeking after him. Then we have to ask the question, what in the world does seeking mean? You always want to get it down, right? What does it mean to seek after? Seeking after God is simply a daily pursuit of wanting to connect with your father, wanting to know your father, wanting to fellowship with your father, wanting to please your father, obey your father. What would God want? What does God say? I don't know, there's been many times, maybe this happened to you, those of us who have lost our fathers or mothers or someone special in our life, and have you ever found yourself saying, boy, I sure wish Dad was here. Or I sure wish Mom was here. Or man, I wish I could call Aunt so-and-so or Grandma or my friend or whatever it is. You see, that is seeking after a focused daily desire as you walk through life. You get up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you get in the car, you do whatever it is, and you go to work, you go to school, whatever it is you're doing. And as you're going through the day, you've got responsibilities. But as things come up, you're constantly thinking about God, his thoughts, in the sense that, how would God respond? How should I respond? How should I love? How should I talk? How should I react? What can I do to show the love of God and my Father to these people around me, even those who aren't loving? That is seeking after God. So it's the idea of being connected and staying connected. And if you have cell phone, you know the frustration of giving a dropped call, right? Or service not working order. Or every time a storm comes, I can't get through on the phone sometimes because the cell towers are out. What an excuse. You will never, with your Father in heaven, ever have a drop call. You're not going to have an interference, not from his end. God's cell towers in heaven always work. They never have a power failure. He's always there. Not only can he receive signals, he can send them. And his signals always get there to their intended target. The problem that we have is that we're thinking about GPS and connections. We get dropped calls, but it's because of sin in our life. Enoch wasn't a perfect person, but he didn't allow sin to fester, I imagine. He didn't allow sin to move on and be a part of his life. Drop calls come from sin. Drop calls come from being around, or interference comes from being around and listening to the wrong people. The children sang it perfectly, didn't they? And I think that was the last verse, the idea of who you're listening to, and who you listen to makes a big difference. It really does. This is a true story. I heard this from, I don't remember the testimony. It could have been just a recorded one, or it could have been a surviving Civil War soldier that was around in like 1930, had to have been like 80 or 90 years old, about a story about I don't remember if he was in the North or the South. That's not the point. They have different bugle calls for different things back then. So they have a bugle call for gathering the troops. They have a bugle call for getting the tents up. They have a bugle call to wake up, to go to sleep. They have them for everything. And every company has a bugle call. But in the heat of battle and how loud it could get, if you've ever been next to some of those cannons or been in a Civil War reenactment, it could get really loud. The bugle call isn't always heard clearly. This testimony of this one soldier, he said, one time it was really heavy fighting was going on, and bullets are flying, cannonballs flying everywhere, and we hear this bugle call, whatever it was. And he said, half the company went forward and half the company went back. Yeah. He said, just take your choice. That is not how God works. What happens, the confusing part, is the noise of sin, the noise of seeking something else, or it's being on a path so far away from God, you can't really distinguish that bugle call. You need to get your heart right with the Lord. And we get in line with the Lord and we come, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We humble ourselves before God, and pretty soon here we're on this path and we're walking with God again. You say it happens that fast? Yeah, it really does. Enoch pleased God because he sought after him. God was his life. He listened, he followed, he stayed on the path. As he knew and grew in his understanding of God, he applied it in his life and he walked with God. Now, why is this a big deal? Because when we walk with God, and this is it, but I want you to get this. Walking with God, are you listening? Means you're in the will of God. I could have saved all those authors hours, years, and thousands of pages of writing on what is the will of God. I'm serious. This issue of what's God's will in my life, what does God want me to do, what does God want me to do, has crippled too many Christians today. I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do. He wants you to walk with him. Well, that doesn't help me. It absolutely will. If you focus on walking with God and you're walking with God, you are in the will of God. And God will guide you along the way. Many people will come up to me, because I had this happen in my life years ago. I had an opportunity to go to 3 different churches all at the same time. All 3 said, yes, come. I said, uh-oh. See, I had been taught there was a specific will of God in my life. Well, I suppose in one sense that's true. He wants me to know him and love him and glorify him and all that. It makes sense. And I was going crazy. I was going crazy. What do I do? What if I pick that church? But I'm supposed to be at that church. And I was really upset. I couldn't take it anymore. I called Dr. Roy Zook at Dallas Seminary. And he called me back and said, what's wrong? I told him my situation. He said, well, look, let me tell you what God's doing here. It's because this happened to him years ago. He said, your Father in heaven loves you so much, he's giving you chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. What flavor do you want? I do that with my kids. What flavor do you want, kids? Oh, Dad, I don't know what your perfect will is for me. I don't know if I should take vanilla. Dad, I don't know if I should take chocolate or strawberry. I don't know, I don't know. And Dad, you're probably sitting there saying, kid, just pick one. I don't care. Did you hear that? God sometimes does that. And we get so upset and so tied up in knots. What am I supposed to move? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You walk with God and God will bring you to the place you need to be. You look at you. He knows your address. He knows your cell phone number. He'll get your attention. It's all right. And when he told me that, I was free. I said, oh, God, thank you. So now it's a choice. Do you want vanilla? Do you want chocolate? Or do you want strawberry? How did I get there? How do I come to that place? It's because I'm walking with God. So maybe the question is really this: are you walking with God? Maybe we struggle with the will of God because we're not walking with God. Maybe that's really the issue. It's not strawberry, vanilla, chocolate. It's about, are you walking at all? Are you in the house? Are you out on your own path? Today would be called, God would be calling you and me as Christians to walk with Him. Christian, is there anything in your life that you decided to take your own path? And you know it. I don't have to convince you. This is a perfect opportunity right now as we close. Through prayer and just personal time, you and the Lord, to get back on His path. Maybe you have burdens in your hearts with your children or grandchildren or co-workers, friends. This is a perfect time right now to ask God to, if He wants to use you, to help them find the path of God to walk on, salvation. And if you're here today and you don't know God in that way, you know about God, but you're not sure about, you know, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, I hope I will. Or if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you're not on the path. I'll tell you that right now. I would offer you the salvation today. As Josh said earlier, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you trust Him? Would you bow your heads with me, please? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just take a few moments here. Let's all do some business with God. Father, as we think about the journey that You've called us to and then the day we were born and how You've helped us in so many ways and have talked to us and sometimes have tried or have shouted at us trying to get our attention at different times in our life, and sometimes we were receptive and other times, Lord, we let the busyness of life or sometimes sin get in the way of that communication. But it wasn't on Your end, it was ours. We want to thank You for Your faithfulness and Your love for us and how You called us to Yourself. And it was by Your grace that we stand and walk with You. Lord, all of us at different times in our spiritual walk, and sometimes on one day, off another, we can try to go on a different path. But I pray this day we would get on Yours. So for my brothers and sisters today, wherever they are in their heart and are with You, if there's something going on in them that they need to deal with, and I don't know what that would be, but You do and they do, I pray that they would follow this word of God. They would make things right with You. They would make things right with other people, whatever it is, Lord. They would humble themselves and begin that walk. I pray for those here today that may not know You personally as Lord and Savior. They have a knowledge of You. Maybe they even have heard the gospel before. Lord, speak to them even now. I pray that they would understand that it is a decision, a choice they must make. They must turn away from whatever it is, the thoughts and hopes and dreams that they're holding on to and desires that maybe I'll be with heaven, in heaven. But I pray that they will come to the full assurance that it's Christ and Christ alone, and they're trusting in You, Lord Jesus, the one who died for them and rose again. So even now, may they call upon Your name, Lord. And if you're one of those folks, just simply say, Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. Help me to walk with You the rest of my life as Your child. And I pray that as we go out of here, Lord, it's going to be a good day. Because as we walk on this path of God, with God, others we can invite to join us. Use us then as Your agents to fulfill Your mission here and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.